Good morning, comrades. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. You can check us out online, goodmorningcomrade.com. Come on every week at 8 o'clock. And today, we got Jeff in the home studio with another Jeff, Jeff Bostic. What's going on, Jeff?
Hang on, Jeff. I'm at Puccino's right now, and I'm trying to make sure that, like, I don't know how this, like, this doohickey works, but if you hear anything fishy out of me, just that was the hacker.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's the hacker who's on here saying whatever the fuck.
Okay, cool, got that. I'm blaming everything on the hacker.
That's right.
So what's going on, man? Wanted to come on. You've been posting about some of the your thoughts on this coronavirus thing, especially like the way things have sort of fallen since. And you were kind of comparing it to a similar situation that you see in the past. Because you're a lifetime New Orleanian, much like Chalmette counts as a lifetime New Orleanian, right?
I'm not checking anybody's passport.
You're
anymore.
Not going to keep that gate?
I don't know how to do the antibody test.
Right.
If you're in Chalmette and the thing comes up, like you open up your Chalmette vein and you drop it on top of the refinery stack and the thing comes out, I think that means something. I don't know.
Yeah. I grew up breathing poison, okay?
Yeah.
That qualifies for something.
You're 90% benzene.
I was raised in chemicals. Like my baby bottles had a little bit of sulfuric acid in them just to get me ready. That's how it works down there.
That's right.
So anyway, we were talking about sort of the whole COVID-19 business and, you know, what's happened since the sort of some of the policy things, the shutdown and all this other stuff. So I guess we could start with like sort of general thoughts about like, how are you feeling, you know, as you see this entire thing unfold, and when we could sort of like start from there.
We're feeling real good, right?
Oh, I mean, look, sooner or later, we're going to win. We're going to get one. We're going to put one on the board.
Mm-hmm. So we're 0 for the 21st century.
Man. Yeah.
It's like everything that happens, it just doesn't seem to get better.
No.
But a lot of things happen. So yeah. you gotta take the good with the bad. It's not like they're boring you to death.
No, there is definitely no shortage of stuff to watch. I mean, you can definitely, if it's, you know, LaToya just, you know, standing out and shouting in front of the convention center, you know, with I suppose John Bell, you know, getting Coach Orgeron to be his like main spokesman for the early stages of the coronavirus game plan sort of thing. Or be it Trump, like just, you know, telling people to blast ultraviolet light and put bleach in their bodies. You know, there's definitely always interesting and entertaining components to the show as that world sort of goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, it's you know, your heroes.
Yeah.
Anything they say, I've just decided is true until proven otherwise.
except for those damn scientists and doctors.
Well, yeah, you gotta watch them.
But anyway, I don't know. So Louisiana is essentially today, as of recording, we're recording on Friday, and today is reopening day, isn't it?
I'm having a celebratory beverage.
Oh, wow.
This is actually the most I've drank since like the thing started.
Really?
Everybody was talking about how like they, you know, what kind of liquor we're consuming for shutdown. And this is the most sober I've been in years. And now that it's over, I guess it's time to start drinking again. So here we are.
But, I guess a lot of states are reopening, and there was a sort of situation where John Bell, the governor, kind of put he had been sort of like leading a I guess he was one of the, he was pushing for keeping things closed for a bit, but then all of a sudden the Republicans and the legislature kind of put a gun to his head and said, open back up. And he kind of, he caved. Right. How did that work out?
Did John Bell really cave though? Like,
I guess not.
I think he's
maybe make him cool, sound cooler than he is.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, God, I don't want to talk about how great John Bell is, but, right. You know, you have this, this is the most right-wing legislature we've elected in a generation or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of them.
And they are terrible. I mean, if you watch what they've been doing, and I know nobody's watching what they're up to right now, because God knows everything else in the world is going to hell. But, you know, just this week they passed a bill of just you can bring your gun to church. they're starting to push their tort reforms through the legislature now. So, like, the, you know, you can't sue your boss for anything anymore. Mm-hmm. The entire right wing agenda is going through with, like, it's going through on grease skids because nobody's watching and nobody can do anything about it. And besides, they've got super majorities anyway.
Right. Go ahead.
But so, like, if they were there operating without John Bell as a backstop, they would be in charge of the coronavirus response right now, basically.
Right.
They and Eddie Rispone. And John Bell has until they decided to lift the stay at home this week, which I don't agree with, and I think that most people who are paying attention think it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job of, like, maintaining everyone's, like, just being a grown up, like being the grown up in the room. And also kind of being a little bit immune to criticism, because he is the only Democrat I know of in the whole country who can just go in to talk to Trump and get Trump to come back and praise him and give him a ribbon or whatever the fuck. and so they all look stupid, or they can't really get at it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's way too much me talking, like, talking up John Bell, because I'm not going to do that much more.
Yeah, no, we still don't like him, but he did an okay job on this, I guess. Maybe that's the point.
For the last couple of months, it's been John Bell and LaToya, who you will never hear me talk compliment either one of them ever again. But this their management of this crisis has been a lot better than it could have been.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold you to that.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. You had something else?
No.
Oh yeah, it really is kind of a strange situation, because it's almost like we're in a spot where there's so much, and the national level Democrats, you cannot say the same for, because they're, I mean, today, as of today, there was this sort of, like, Heroes Act that they were pushing in the House, and the whole point of that was to be, like, a messaging bill to try and talk about, like, what would be the clear thing that we would, you know, that would be the demands of the sort of, like, opposition to the, you know, Trump and the Republicans in the Senate. And there was, like, a just completely muddled message that completely ticked off all of the progressive caucus. I guess to sort of, like, juxtapose that with the sort of, like, local leaders who are doing at least a halfway decent job.
Well, mm-hmm. It's layer upon layer of shit.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I mean, the reason that I'm so nice to the local people is mm-hmm. that they really are following the lead of what happens in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the whole playing field is determined, right? Like,
right.
So if we had, from the get-go, had a bill that, you know, guaranteed the $2,000 a month to everybody who, like, so that we could stay home, provided immediate help to the states and the local governments who are all going bankrupt right now, there would be no pressure at all on local government. So
right, because all the money flows from the top.
Yeah, and so Congress immediately, they've always had the option of just turning on the money printer and
make it go burr.
That's right, make the thing go burr, throw money at everybody. They gave money to the banks, they gave money to the cruise ship companies, they gave money to the airlines. I mean, you know this whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
They chose specifically to bail out the rich and not bail out the rest of us.
Right.
And it could have been exactly the opposite, and we wouldn't be in this position at all. And that's where it all begins. Mm-hmm. And because that tone is set up there, all the shit has rolled all the way downhill.
Yeah. And it's the exact same thing that happened in 2008. And it's the exact same thing that happened in after Katrina, when, you know, with the road home and all this other stuff, right? It didn't.
And it's the exact same thing that happened in 2001.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, you can
over
go back
and over again.
Right. It's the same story. We've seen it enough times. Uh-huh. We know what's going to happen. We know that there is no shame. I think that's the thing that a lot of liberals don't understand.
Yeah.
Is that there is no, like, no one has any sense of decency, sir.
Yeah.
It's like, whenever, whatever happens, people will, we can make things as shitty as possible for you.
Uh-huh.
And you are going to eat it, and you are going to take it, and you're going to adjust to it.
Yeah.
And there isn't, like, no one's coming to save you, is what people need to understand.
Right. Yeah. The only people that are going to save us are ourselves. And it's definitely not going to be even like the local level, even like the, you know, if you like LaToya, like, she ain't going to save us. She has her own set of incentives that got her in the position that she's in, and that are going to keep her there or rise her up. It's not about you unless you're just doing compliance, or unless you make that set of incentives responsible to you, or
yeah,
find somebody better.
And it's a tilted playing field now. And
yeah.
I mean, she's been good at you know, fighting the bullshit for a while, but you're right. What's mm-hmm. going to happen now is she is going to be faced with this $150 million budget deficit. And unless there's federal help, she is not going to have any sympathy for anybody that she needs to deny services to.
Mm-hmm.
Or like fire or furlough or anything like that. It's going mm-hmm. to be, it's going to be a hardcore austerity. And, you know, she, like many other, you know, Democrats or liberal politicians are, you know, they have austerity baked into their toolbox, you know,
right.
That's a weird fucking metaphor. Maybe
they're bakers, and bakers have toolboxes.
That's right. The baker's toolbox. But you know what I'm saying? She's set up to be a hard ass to you and me eventually, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not confident.
Or at the very least, like, if you see any kind of like revenue raising that would come, like right now, traffic cameras ain't never ever leaving because the city needs the money now more than it did before.
Right. Every single thing, traffic cameras, you know, they never stopped arresting people.
Right.
You know, a bail isn't going to be a thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, cash bail is going to continue to be a thing
forever.
What else is there that they're dealing with? They've got to redo all the tax revenue. They're fighting right now with the tourism industry over their stash of money, but they're not going to win that.
Yeah.
They
got 1% so far. I mean, we got 1%.
Right.
Slap in the face.
It's an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But and they, like, it's funny to me to watch Steve Perry complain like about how aggrieved he is. Like, he's the victim in all of this.
Right.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're all going to be fine. Whatever the smaller piece of the pie, or the smaller the pie gets, they're still going to get the largest piece unless something drastic happens. And that's just the way this is headed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really optimistic, Jeff.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, there is something that's important in identifying and diagnosing the problem and then sort of like working from there. And if you're unable to do that, if you're unable to sort of like provide that kind of a critique, then I don't know how you get started on actually solving the problem, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I don't know. People tell me I'm not doing it the right way.
What does that mean?
I never claim to, but I, you know, a lot of people say that there are ways to, I don't know. If you're nice enough to these people, they might be nice
yeah.
to you.
What is the basis for that kind of a claim? I mean, we've tried being nice. Nice is the thing that we've tried time and time again, hasn't it? And what has that gotten us?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just, Don't try. Wait, let's think happy thoughts, man.
Happy thoughts. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't go down the rabbit hole of just everything being fucking negative.
I understand that. Yeah. But I suppose, kind of like looking forward at this though, like, I don't know, this sort of whole situation, I mean, like every single time, and I'm talking back at the national level, because I'm really, really like honked off at a bunch of things when it came to this Heroes Act. Are you familiar with like what went down in the Congress with that?
Well, Jayapal wanted to
the head of the CPC, the Congressional Progressive Caucus,
right?
She wanted to
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say she wanted to what now?
Well, they wanted to have better, more of protection, paycheck protection in there.
Uh-huh.
They also are upset about the fact that Pelosi has included this big COBRA bailout to insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff in there that's good and bad, frankly. Like the things about it that make it. They're asking for state and local aid. They're asking for another round of bailout checks to people. But none of that's going to get passed, and they know it's not going to get passed. And they're just doing it now to say that they tried.
Right.
A little. And it's stuff that they should have asked for at the beginning, that they did, when they had the leverage to ask for $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they could have held up the first round when the Republicans really wanted to have their bank bailouts.
Mm-hmm.
They could have held up the works the second time around when they wanted to fix PPP. They could have refused to vote for it until, you know, we get some concessions. But no, they went ahead and let them have everything they want. I think what do the Republicans want now? They want liability
protection. For bosses.
That's right. So they're going to let them have that too. It's just every time they've got leverage, they squander it.
And then they'll say, oh, we'll get another bite at the apple. It's always the thing that they say. We'll get another crack at this thing the next time when the leverage is gone.
They don't really want it. What they want is to have gone on record as asked for something and not received it because of reasons.
Yeah, and
because that pleases everybody. That pleases their, you know, the people they really serve, is their donors. You know, they really serve the healthcare industry, and they really serve Joe Biden really serves the credit card companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's they want to have gone on record with for you saying, well, we asked for this, and the other thing, but we didn't deliver it, and so it makes everybody happy.
Right,
you know, it makes them look good, or. You know, I'm the happy warrior who didn't get what we wanted.
Yeah, but we really, really tried. You know, we laid it all out in the field.
That's right.
But then with Jayapal, I was actually like, I found that to be just so infuriating. What happened over there too, is because there was potentially like leverage for the Progressive Caucus to at least make, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats look bad by because what had already happened is that even the sort of like messaging that they knew wasn't that they knew wasn't going to get through the Senate or whatever, the messaging that they were putting forward in this Heroes Act was already a compromise. They were already like caving and meeting halfway in the middle on something that they had no chance of getting through anyway. So what you're essentially doing is establishing a first level bargaining position. And they didn't even do that right. Because I mean, and like Jayapal and the Progressive Caucus did a thing where she said it actually is wild to me. She said that she was personally against this Heroes Act, which didn't go like anywhere near far enough, but the Progressive Caucus wasn't going to like whip for votes. And she said she articulated specifically to the reporter as she's given this quote, and I want you to put that in the article, that we're not whipping for this. It's like, well, then what are you doing?
Right. It's all a PR, but it's all a campaign.
Yeah.
And none of it's about really helping anybody. It's just, it's how do we maintain our, our power within the structure, which is within the structure. I'm tired of like complaining about it, because I really want there to be a way to turn that around and to really take it head on. And I feel like, you know, we've been through the ringer with it. Like, as the last, 4 years has been, in 2016, that was what the whole point of the Bernie campaign was then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 4 years of organizing to go at him again, and then to see it fall apart again. I mean, that's what the whole point was. The whole point was like this bullshit politics where, you know, we make excuses for the rich and powerful in order to protect our own little gambit
turf or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amusing and everything, but like, people are suffering, and it's time to blow that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not supposed to curse on the radio, huh?
We can make it. Well, you know what? We can release this one on Saturday. We'll do a very special episode.
I'm sorry about
that. It's okay. You're giving us extra content.
But that's what the whole point of these last 4 or 5 years has been, is to really take that stuff head on. Yeah. And now just to see it continue to happen.
Yeah. More
and
of the same.
Now I'm thinking about ways to like, how do you go around it? It's got to be avoided. Because the only other option is to continue to watch everything sink into the sea.
Yeah.
And, what do we do?
And what can you do and when can you do it? And like, how do you identify where actual points of leverage are actually at, if there are any? And let me like kind of stress that point, because right now it kind of feels like there are none.
Yeah.
It feels like we're just kind of totally kind of like sent to our rooms and grounded, while the world is sort of collapsing around us. And then we're telling we have to just like, we just have to go to school and don't get to like go out to play.
Yeah. It does feel like that sometimes. It's I'm constantly telling myself, well, I told me so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and I think about this one a little bit too. Like, there was a lot that went into the sort of Sanders campaign, and I think it was for good reason, because he was the first person since I've been alive that actually had the ability to kind of like bring in working people and push forward a positive agenda that wasn't like Ralph Nader or whatever, somebody who wasn't like so far in the margins that they didn't really have any chance of actually affecting or changing anything. And correctly, I would think, like, a lot of energy from regular people, not even necessarily part of an organization or a union or whatever. A lot of regular people got plugged into that kind of stuff, like that kind of work in the campaign.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
What you're identifying there is the value of real mass politics.
Yeah, real mass politics.
As opposed to specialized, there's a lot of value in organizing and being, being technically good at, confronting power and working against it on its own terms.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something much more powerful in being able to mobilize or people who feel left out or disconnected or feel like it means something to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you're right about that. And one of the things that I don't want that meaning to turn into is for like somebody, and I'm very conscious about this myself. I mean, I'm sitting here with a 5-foot-tall Bernie cutout in right behind me. But like, I don't want it to be like, oh man, remember that time we like went and backed Bernie in 2016, 2020? Man, that was like the best. And now I'm going to go and like, you know, support Nancy Pelosi or whatever. I've gotten, those days are behind me. You know, I've seen so many of like these older, like, I don't like, it's not a perfect comparison, but like,
yippies
that turned into
right.
conservatives, you know, or whatever.
No, you're right. And that's the crucial point that we are at right now, which there's a danger of all of that dissolving into nothing.
Yeah.
Or people deciding to turn back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have been thinking about, you know, for a while. Is like, what are we going to do when we lose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an eternal optimist,
you were planning for the loss already.
Yeah. Like I feel like I should be more prepared for this moment because I had been thinking, okay, so, well, we're going to lose and then what?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer to it is, but I was thinking about today was that, you know, this is, everything is a process.
Oh yeah.
And it's not about like, nothing's ever over, and there's always a value in having fought the fight or mm-hmm. had the argument, even if you know it's a losing argument.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a value in having participated in it, even if you don't see what it is right now, or even if it's not, you know, even if it doesn't work out great.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about just affecting the process and plugging into it any way that you can, and being honest about it. And I think those are the things that. To remember.
Yeah, otherwise how are you going to learn about it? I mean, like, even you know, that's one of those sort of things that gets really complicated too, because there's a lot of like talk, especially like in on like, you know, like whatever lefty spaces or whatever, and there's this idea or like this sort of concept of like whether or not to deal with the Democratic Party or whatever. And it's sort of like, well, why, like, what choice is there in a certain sense to at least like kind of plug in and engage and understand the terrain by which they operate, and just mm-hmm. sort of, you know, do what you can to sort of change that whilst doing other things? I don't think it's a choice. I think there has to be kind of a across the board strategy here.
That's right. I mean, it's mostly about knowing, just learn about how this stuff works.
Yeah.
Like, you know who they are and why they're doing what they're doing, and then you're at least getting somewhere with it.
Yeah, and another one of the things that I notice and think about, and this is sort of like really important, and you might want to weigh in on this, but there's sort of a conceptualization, that I don't know, that part of the like problems that we have to do with some of our like working class institutions, and I'm thinking specifically of things like labor unions and the fact that they've been somehow captured, and that may or may not be true, you know, but there's a lot of people that talk about like things like the rank and file strategy and all these other things which might have merit, might not, you know, whatever, but there's not really like, I think a huge critical component, I think, is that there needs, before you can even do any of that stuff, you need to at least teach people how to operate and exist within, if they're a member of a union, teach them or work with folks how to plug into it and how to work and exist in that space before you can even consider like doing anything else, you know?
Yeah, it can be very complicated if you walk into a situation where you don't know who is representing what.
And you don't have any status either.
Right. Like, you don't, it's intimidating for people who have not, you know, really been in that environment before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimidating for young people too, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Because they don't have any, I mean, you don't really grow up being taught how to, you know, with a lot, you don't learn a lot of class consciousness growing up unless you come from a union household.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to learn on the fly, especially, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess sort of like, and I'm not like asking you necessarily for the answer, but sort of like the objective, I suppose, is to find ways to kind of like bridge that. You know,
to find, and I guess I'm, or to find ways to trip it up. And I'm talking about if you know how the political machine works in New Orleans, mm-hmm. you know who is kind of coming from where and for what reasons, then you're never going to conquer it, but you have to like know how to speak to different types of people and for different reasons, I guess.
Oh, totally. Yeah. There's and how to talk to regular people is important too.
Well, I mean, assuming we are all regular people, I don't know.
Yeah, what does regular mean, I guess? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point. I say that sometimes, and I kind of have my own image of what like a regular person is, but imagine that a regular person in my imagination is a lot like me. Weird.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that's I think the point that you just kind of made though is about I don't know, but about sort of analyzing these kind of like ways things work and talking to people in terms that they appreciate and understand and would respond to sort of, I guess, abstractify it a bit. That's something that isn't always, I don't know. It's not something that's always sort of like appreciated. And there's a lot of nuance and a lot of complication to it. And I don't know.
It's just never assume you know everything. Mm-hmm. Always want to be, and always listen to people. You know, they usually know what they're talking about, even if, you know, they have a different point of view than you do. This mm-hmm. is very basic textbook kindergarten stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know there.
I think that it is. It does get kind of like skipped over at times, though, doesn't it?
I suppose it depends.
Maybe I'm being unfair. Hmm. So, how has your sort of quarantine sort of situation been? You know, as I know, for me, work has just completely been upended and changed, and you don't have to talk about any of the stuff that you do. But like, is your like sort of situation tenable? Is it sort of like
it's been weird. Yeah. You know, especially for me, because I spent a lot of time just watching how everybody else was doing. Because yeah. That, you know, I don't know. I remember things that happened to everybody, and not so much the things that happened to me. I remember that, you know, at the beginning of this, we were all threatened by a rabbit with a sword. Mm-hmm. Who is telling us that, you know, you better stay 6 feet away or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we were threatened by a B-52 bomber that was like dropping pieces of itself over everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really cool.
So it's been like this long, weird ass nightmare.
Yeah, fever dream.
I've been trying to I don't know. Everybody copes in their own way. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people have been figuring out new cocktails to make. Some people have been baking bread.
Yeah, a lot of sourdough.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'll fit the list. I've been making a lot of beans, Jeff.
Oh, that's good.
I've every week is
like
a
red
new pot of
beans, or just different kinds of beans.
Different color beans. You have to get all the different kinds, all the colors of the rainbow.
Got
to
catch them all.
That's right. you make your beans on whatever day, and that's what you eat for the week.
That's good.
Becoming a frugal household manager, learning all the life skills.
Yeah. Putting any money in your mattress, or that's not where you're at yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I've got a cardboard box that's under my bed. Yeah. Where all the money that I used to spend on like Cheetos or whatever.
Yeah. Bury some coffee cans in the yard, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it has been kind of strange because, I don't know, like I'm a teacher, and it's sort of like one of these sorts of things where there's been a demand to sort of just change the way that you do every single thing in the entirety of your career and training for your career. And the expectation is to do it immediately, you know? And
yeah.
And that happens while having sort of like the inability to sort of like go to the bar and just like talk to people and like, you know, like to kind of like see your friends. And I say this and it sounds weird, but like literally breathing the same air as the people that you're, you know, with all the time. It's become a danger.
Which sounds so gross now.
It does sound gross. It does. And you have to wear a mask to do it.
Right.
It's just become like so intensely isolating. And I don't know.
Yeah. It's the things that you used to count on, especially in New Orleans, where, like, you know, it's like a cliche, though, like say that, you know, you always talk to your neighbor or you see people on the street, you stop and say hi and shit like that. But like now it's like you just got to. It goes against all of your, like, your instincts.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't know. I don't know how to deal with all that.
In the early days, they even tried to like blame this whole thing on Mardi Gras. That was so wild to me when they tried to like.
Well, you knew that was coming. Yeah, that was a typical exercise,
right,
for us. Like, that's, oh God, here we go again. Let's we're gonna play this. That's a fun online game to play, is like, you know, oh no, they're coming after New Orleans. Well, let me tell you something about New Orleans, right, buddy. Right. This is how we do it.
This
here
is actually
in
the greatest city in the world.
All right, don't you come at me with my, oh God.
Yeah,
it's I'm so tired. I'm tired of it. it happens all the time. But yeah, we had to go through that. Now, are we gonna have Mardi Gras next year? It's gonna be like LaToya's already like pre-canceled Mardi Gras.
She canceled Mardi Gras for next year already?
No, not really. She said that we don't know if we're gonna be able to have it next year.
It's on the table.
And that sent it's one of those things. And that sent everybody into a tizzy because that's what happened.
That's caving. It's caving to the Mardi Gras haters.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this dynamic now, actually, with LaToya, where she can say something that just makes half the city freak out.
Yeah.
The canceling Jazz Fest made everybody mad.
Canceling St. Patrick's Day.
Right. All the, like, it's fun to watch her really like make all the right people mad.
Yeah.
I'm kind of enjoying that now.
Well, and I do also find, I do think that it's a funny sort of corollary or like photo negative of this. Like when there was a lot of like weird blame going at LaToya for like canceling specifically the St. Patrick's Day parade. And a lot of folks were like, look at LaToya canceling the fun, you know? And then, and then like the next like day or two later, the Jefferson Parish like president does the same thing. And there's a lot of like New Orleanians who are like, no, why aren't you mad now that, you know, Cynthia is canceling it for you? You know, it's sort of like this weird back and forth that everybody just wants to sort of like point their finger at one another.
That's right. It's she's had to be, I think it would be worse if we had someone with not quite as strong a personality as she has.
Yeah.
Because I think those people need to be yelled at the way she has yelled at them.
Yeah.
I've kind of come around on this, frankly, because at the beginning of this, I turned on the TV and I felt like she was yelling at me. I'm like, no, LaToya, I'm staying at home.
Yeah.
Stop yelling at me about this. I'm trying.
She's like being your mom.
Yeah. But after I kind of felt like I got over her, like feeling like she was yelling at me, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying watching her yell at Steve Perry and
all these other motherfuckers.
Yeah, you know, and if it goes into next year where they start canceling parades and stuff, I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It'll be different.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would be. Like, have they ever canceled Mardi Gras before? I don't know. I can't.
Well, There have been, yeah, you know, during the wars.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you know, the 1979 police strike was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Where a lot of events in New Orleans were canceled, although a lot of parades went to Metairie that year.
that was the first time. So,
well, that'll be fun. Hey, what if Endymion goes to Metairie?
Oh, my God. That would be basically, actually, that's where it belongs, isn't it?
That's what a lot of people say.
But
that's another dynamic. Like if this, if we are still in the throes of whatever we're in, and we can't have Mardi Gras parades next year, and they all go to Metairie, and that'll be I kind of want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy it, but I want to watch it.
Yeah. What if the parades all go online like the protests have, like the rallies and stuff?
Vaporware Mardi Gras.
Yeah, everything will be crew of Vaporwave.
Yeah.
they'll become like the new top of the fucking the bar, the new Mardi Gras.
Right.
It's just online like YouTube channels and stuff. That would be awesome.
Right. That's oh God, what a hell. What a hell we're going to live in.
Actually, I have a friend of mine who does some work on Crew of Vaporwave, and I suggested the idea, and they did it, of doing ASM Mardi Gras.
See what this what's happening?
I'm part of the problem.
It sounds funny now, but like then it gets to be a thing, and we're like,
Look, I'm just basically getting in front of it before somebody else does it. Right. I think these things are inevitable to a certain extent. I don't think that I'm causing it. I think I'm just trying to claim credit for it.
Right. That's right. That's what you do. Get out in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, man, anything else you want to drop in? What you got going, you know, coming up? What is returning to the world gonna look like? What is the world after coronavirus, if it ever ends?
Well,
what is it gonna look like?
The first thing you need to know is that it is definitely over now.
Today.
And you know, we're not going back into lockdown. They're not going to let us
ever.
Even if like 1,000 people die tomorrow, we're not going to go back into lockdown. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some strange version of getting used to it click by click. So that's
like a ratchet effect.
That's right. That's the situation we're in for the next several months. But while that's going, that's just the context.
Mm-hmm.
The next couple things that are going to happen is we have elections coming up. We still have to have the Louisiana presidential primary. That's going to happen in July now. And there's a couple other things on the ballot in New Orleans. They're going to be electing a second city court judge.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important right now because that is the court that handles evictions cases.
Oh, wow.
And
now's the time to campaign for that.
Right. So there's already a campaign going on for that, but they, you know, it's a lot of stuff that people have to catch up on. So mm-hmm. It's probably going to be more important to people within the next month than it would have been if they had done the primary on the regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you know, there's also, Democratic State Central Committee, JP deck, op deck,
mm-hmm.
races and stuff, the down ballot stuff on your ballot there.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen in July, presumably. And then after that, we have the presidential race going to happen. There's school board races going on in Orleans Parish. There's a DA's race going on.
I had forgot. It has been a year. I've been talking, like, here's a crazy thing. I was actually, when you mentioned school board, that kind of actually messed me up. Because it seems like it was, like, yesterday, but it was also, like, a million years ago when I was talking to somebody about running for school board. But like, it's almost, like, laughable at this point, like, how much stuff has sort of, like, just, like, switched around since I've last had these kind of talks.
That's right. I mean, we've had this whole month of like this fracture, you know, mm-hmm. and it's only now that you can start to see what's coming ahead. you know, so like that's, it's a different world.
And what is, so, like, what is, even campaigning for any kind of office look like in that world? You know,
like, don't be kissing babies and shaking hands.
No.
So yeah, that's another question. I mean, how do you even run a campaign now? Do you have face to face events with people, or do you do everything on Crew of Vaporwave? So yeah, that's a problem. So it's gonna. 2020 is going to be a political year at some point, even though we've been putting that off.
Right. Been trying to kind of like say, just kick the can down the road for forever.
That's right. And then, you know, we're going to be fighting over the state budget, the city budget all year. It's going to be a lot of things that are going to be rough.
That kind of stuff, actually, when you kind of put it in those terms, like, even if you don't know, like, if you don't understand what the specifics are going to look like, it's almost like a little bit of, it's almost kind of comforting to know that, like, all, like, and this is maybe overstating it, but, like knowing that all of the same crap you have to always deal with is still going to come up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's comforting. Yeah, it's great. I can't wait.
I don't know. Like, I mean that like kind of in a flippant way, if you know what I mean. Like, just the fact.
No,
that...
I know. I can't wait to hope Joe Biden beats Donald Trump. I can't wait. Can't wait for that.
Chomping at the bit for that one. Well, I guess there is the possibility of some other crazy stuff happening, but yeah. One of the things that I think about too, like, I get way more scared. Because maybe your head is in a different place than mine. Like, yours is like, oh yeah, we got to do the same shit over again. And I'm like, man, what if like work, like becoming a teacher, just becomes 100% online? You know, and that sounds actually like the worst case scenario to me.
Yes, in the middle of all of the other chaos, every individual person has to deal with the complete redefining of their profession or their job or whatever it is they do. Has to happen in a completely different way than it did before. So
possibly never, you know, to return.
Right. Maybe you will never see your coworkers again. Maybe we will all exist on separate islands in separate, you know, enclosures, pushing a button to, you know, communicate with somebody 20 miles away to get whatever done that we're supposed, whatever doodad we're supposed to push.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be completely redefined for a while. That's going to be weird. It's going to be atomizing. It's going to be isolating. And on top of that, we're all going back into the world. The vision is, like, you know, the New Orleans Saints are going to win the Super Bowl with, like, but nobody will see it happen. So, like, did the tree really fall in the forest this time?
If the NFL never ever plays another snap, then Tom Brady will technically never have been a Buccaneer. And a Gronk.
That's right. Like, nobody, none of this is real. It can be as beautiful or as horrible as you can imagine.
Yeah,
and all the things are true.
I think it's going to be both. Yeah, exactly. Like a simultaneous, beautiful horror show.
That's right. It's quantum. Yeah. And we're living in a quantum realm now.
Well, I guess we can sort of leave it there.
Great.
I love the quantum realm. We live there now forever. Is there anything you want to mention? You know, you want to plug Hunker Downcast or anything? If it's coming back,
I would love to plug the Hunker Downcast. It's a passion project.
It's a great show. I really enjoy listening to you and Allie.
My good friend Allie has this podcast that you should listen to. And sometimes we help out with that. And we haven't done it in a couple months now. And I feel like we've kind of betrayed our name and our ethos.
If there's ever been a time to hunker down.
Correct. But yeah, we'll try and get that back up and running soon. And that'll be something.
Yeah. And you want to tell the people where to follow you on Twitter, or?
It doesn't matter. They'll figure it out.
All right, follow this guy, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate you coming on. Yeah. We gotta, you know, when this is over, we should probably grab a beer and just kind of hang out.
If that's even possible.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll break the wall. All right, bro.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You love it, everybody. Bye.